Good evening, everyone. We're continuing our Psalm series, Tehillim. If you remember, last week we arrived to chapter 60. We finished chapter 60. Hopefully we'll do a few more chapters today, Bezrat Hashem. Many people already wrote to me that after reviewing the chapters of the Tehillim, now it's never like it used to be. Before they were reading, they didn't have an idea what they read. They didn't have an idea, they didn't connect so much. Now they understand each chapter, what is it talking about, when David wrote it, when it was written, what's behind it, some of the secrets that we reveal here. It gives it's like putting a soul inside a body. Body looks the same without the soul. You put a soul, it's a different story. So chapter 61, a summary of this Mizmor, the writer is asking Hashem to protect him from his enemy. That's in the first part. Then the second part is asking that Hashem will give all those who fear him and follow him their share, and also to extend the life of the king. Possibly this Mizmor was meant to be said by the king himself as he is going into the war. Today the king sitting on a nice leather couch and give orders. Back in the day, a real king used to go into the war. Not only into the war, actually risked his life. And when the soldiers saw that their king is on the front, excuse me, when the king goes into the front, they all actually get encouraged and follow him. In Hebrew, you have a word, it's called katzin, katzin. What's katzin mean? An officer in the army, a chief commander, his name is katzin. Where did his name come from? It's a biblical name. It's not from modern Hebrew. It's already an ancient word. It comes from the word katze. Katze means edge. It could be an edge. The difference between the ktsinim back in the day to the ktsinim today, the difference between the ktsinim back then and the ktsinim today, that back in the day, the katzin always went in the front, in a katze, but in the front, edge. Today, some of the ktsinim goes in the front, some sits in an office in Tel Aviv and give orders by looking in a computer, what's going on. Each one with his job, but one way or the other, when they say katzin, means he's either in the front or the back of the group of the soldiers. So the second part of this Mizmor, begging Hashem to help him to occupy the land, which is inheritance for the Jewish nation. And in the end, he's asking that Hashem will make his life long and blessed. But it's actually hidden inside this Mizmor. Let's see what this Mizmor has to say. למנצח על נגינת לדוד, the conductor that wrote this song is David, שימעה אלוקים רינתי, God listen to my singing, הקשיבה תפילתי, accept my prayer, מקצה הארץ אליך אקרא בעטוף ליבי. From one side of the earth to the other side of the earth, I'm calling you, Ba'atof libi. What does it mean, ba'atof libi? When my heart feels down, it has a problem. Betzur yarum mimeni tancheni. Betzur yarum mimeni tancheni. When you stand on the top of the hill, that inside the hill it's all a bunker, that it's very protected. Betzur yarum mimeni tancheni. no matter where I'm going to stand, you, Hashem, will direct me. Ki ha'ita machseli, you're my shelter. Migdal oz mipnei oyev, you're my bunker from the anger of the enemy. Agura be'o'alecha olamim, I live inside your tent, literally inside your tent forever. But what it means, it's inside your temple. Recheze beseder knafecha sela. I'm going to find a shelter under your wings forever. Ki ata Elokim shamata lindarai. Because you, God, listened to my vows when I had a trouble. I made my vows. Natata Yerushat Irei Shemecha. You gave the inheritance to those who fear you. In every time there's a very big rabbi come into a place, all the Talmidim, all the students sings to him a famous song. Everywhere you go, Sfaradim, Ashkenazim, what song they sing? It goes like this. Yamim al yememelech tosif. It's a very famous song. All the big rabbis, when they come, everyone stand and sing for them. This is coming from this chapter, chapter 61. Yamim al yemei melech tosif. You add days to the days of the king. Shnotav kmo dor vador. That his years will be a full generation. That he won't actually be cut out of this world before the time of the generation came. Yeshev olam lifnei Elokim. He'll be able to be in front of Hashem forever. Chesed ve'emet man in tseruhu. Chesed ve'emet, kindness and the truth, will be always ready to reserve him, to watch him. Ken azamra shimcha la'ad leshalmi nedara yom yom. That's how I'm going to sing for you for eternity while I'm paying my vows every day. As you could see, we finished this mizmor. We learned from this mizmor one major thing. When a person has a problem in life, it's now, in general, it's not good to make vows, to make promises, you're not always sure you can keep. You're making vows, you're not sure if you can keep them. But when is their time really to make a vow? Is when a person has a serious, not just a little problem, serious problem in his life, whether he's expecting a final answer by the doctor that make an MRI or CAT scan, and there's a severe chance that he has cancer, his life could be over in a few months, all kinds of things like this. He has headaches, and they made all the regular tests, and they cannot find anything. And then the doctor begins to look concerned. Maybe it's really something much more serious than what I thought. This is the time right now for a person to make a neder. But it has to be a vow that hurts. In other words, if a person that has millions of dollars, he can say to Hashem, I'm going to give $1 million for yeshivot or for making balei tshuva or something like that, if you will save me from my situation. And that's something that can help a lot. Now, the point is like this. When does a person should make the vow? When there is a severe chance that he's very sick, or that someone threatened to take him to court and he may lose all his money, or all kinds of things like that. Or when that's already happened. In other words, when the doctor already told him, Mr. X, I'm very sorry to tell you, we found cancer in your brain, and we give you 3 months maximum to live. Now, if he's going to make the vow, there's still a chance that he will help, more than anything else, of course. But the chances are much, much, much lower. And let me explain why. Why? As long as the decree is not clear, it's not a done deal. There's a suspicion. Now it's the time to make a vow. Don't take a risk. Why? After they already announced it, then it's already public information. Once he came out to the world, which means up to now, only Hashem and the angels knew that. But until now, no other person knew about it. As soon as you find out about it and people find out about it, now if it's to remove it from your head, you need a clear miracle. To make a clear miracle for an ordinary person, even if he's a religious Jew, still an ordinary person, the chance that Hashem agreed to do such thing is very, very small. Why? Because the Satan object. The Satan come and say, I'm very sorry. What reason you have to make such a chilul Hashem? Why do you want to save this person? What merit he has to get saved? He got what he got because he deserved it, right? Now you want to cancel the decree. Why you want to cancel it? So Hashem doesn't have what to say. He said, oh, he just said he wants to give $1 million. The Satan would say, of course. Everyone that has $10 million, he found out he has 3 months to live, would give $1 million. Why didn't give the whole 10? He should have given the whole 10 if he really trusted you. What does it mean, one? He's going to leave 9 to himself? Should have given the whole 10. But before it was already published, we don't know. Maybe yes, maybe not. It's like gambling. You need bigger emunah for that. Well, once it was already told to a person, but you're not a hero that you're suggesting a lot of money. If the doctor would promise you to get cure, you'll give him 5. And you would not cry about it. Big deal, I lost half of what I have. At least I got my life back. So if you offer the Chinese doctor or the Japanese, you're willing to give him 5, you wouldn't give Hashem 1, of course. The Satan object. But before it was announced to the person, by him giving 1, I'm just giving you an example. The numbers here are not so relevant because every person according to his ability. When before it was actually a fact, the person made a vow, if you save me, this is I guarantee to give this and this immediately. Not like some people make vows and they never paid it, or they pay it in many, many years. Right? After they get saved, the Yetzer Haram tightened their heart. What, you're full? Oh yeah, of course you have to give. You made a vow, you cannot fool Hashem, and also you don't want to get it back. But who's to say you have to give it in one shot? You give it in 20 years. That's how the Satan always ruined the point. That's why it's better never to start with vow. Because the Satan is very, very strong against it, and it's going to make you break it, and then you're going to get an extra punishment. Why? Someone that makes vows, chas v'shalom, if you read in the Gemara in Nedarim, ba'avon nedarim metim banav shel adam. A person can lose his children for that. It's not a joke. Ba'avon nedarim meta ishto shel adam. A person can lose his wife, meaning that he loves her. You know the story I once told about one guy who wanted to get rid of his wife, but I didn't know how to do it because he wrote a lot of money in her ketubah. So he came to the rabbi, he said, Rabbi, I don't know what to do. So the rabbi told him, I have a very easy solution for you. He said, what? He said, make a vow that you build us a new shul, something nice, big like this shul. You build for us a new shul, and we all know that you're so stingy that you're never going to give the money. So when the time comes in 2 months to give the money and you won't give the money, well, there's a very, very high chance that your wife will move on to the next world. I say, really, Rabbi, it's working? I say, yes, it's Gemara. So the guy say, you know what, very good, I was very worried. How am I going to get rid of her with paying her all this ketubah? So the rabbi told him, but listen, since you're getting rid of her now and you have only 60 more days with her, at least these 60 days be nice. Buy her flowers, take her to restaurants, maybe on a trip. Try to be extra nice. Don't make comments, don't criticize her. You know, mamash, be a great husband. Why? You don't want her to go to the next world with anger against you. It's not good. So you don't want her to have anything in her heart against you. So the guy say, you're right, Rabbi. At least I say goodbye nicely. So he started to be nice. And you know how ladies are. When the husband begins to be nice a week or two, they feel horrible to be nasty. She doesn't feel anymore to speak bad. Why? He became so nice. So automatically she softened up. So after a month and a half, she became the greatest wife. All of a sudden, she cooked, she ran shopping, she cleaned the house, she gives him attention. A whole different wife. He runs to the rabbi, he says, "Rabbi, rabbi, I want to cancel the deal. It's only a week left." And the rabbi said, "What do you mean? 2 months ago you were frustrated." He said, "Listen, if I tell you that she's a whole different person, you would believe me? You cannot recognize her. Completely different person." Now the rabbi already knew usually it's the man's fault. The man is nice, eventually the wife is also nice, because the wife is the mirror of the husband. The rabbi got him such a trick. The whole idea was to make him 60 days nice. And also, if you can gain a shul, why not? So the rabbi told him, "The only way your wife will be around, if you build us a shul. Otherwise, you have 1 week left." The stingy guy finally opened up his checkbook. And he wrote a nice check. The wife was happy, he was happy, the rabbi was happy, and Hashem was happy. A family got saved. So the idea, like I said, to make the vow before the message was already confirmed. Once it was confirmed, it's maybe 1,000 times harder. Still a chance, but now you need a clear miracle. But before, it's not a clear miracle. You won't even know. You will never know. If the doctor said to you, "False alarm, we checked the MRI, the CAT scan, whatever, and Baruch Hashem, it's not what we thought, probably migraine, maybe allergies, who knows, only God knows, but it was really cancer, but no one would ever know, because Hashem took it out. Why Hashem took it out? He was able to take it out with no objection. Nobody comes and object, because it wasn't public information. Once it becomes public information, just like in life, once the police and the FBI and the prosecutor and everyone knows about it, the judge cannot do whatever he wants. So it's already well known. But if you and the judge alone, no one else does, the judge says, "You know what, I'll give you another chance. I'll dismiss it before it goes public, but you have to keep your vow, your promises." That's how it works. So here David HaMelech is teaching us a message. When is the time to make vows? If you want to make a vow, when you have a serious problem, before you make the vow and Hashem save you, you pay the vow immediately. Just as he say, "I will sing for you forever and pay my vow daily." Every day I'll pay my vow. I'll never stop. Chapter 62. A short summary of chapter 62 is teaching us that this Mizmor is actually preaching Musar and wisdom, ethic and wisdom. It's not actually a begging or prayer. It's similar to chapter 4. We learn from this Mizmor that it was meant to be told in front of a large audience, to teach them the importance of confidence in Hashem. The writer is opening with a statement that is trusting Hashem by himself, and then he moves on to describe all the traitors, the wicked people, that showing their face as lovers, as making covenant with you, and come to stab you in the back, behind your back. And then they trap the person that put his trust in them, and like a wall that collapsed, you know, that's how he collapsed. There's nothing to lean on. And then he turns into the wicked people with strong words, asking them how long they are planning to stay the way they are, ungrateful and betrayed, etc. Let's see some of the words of this Mizmor. L'amnatzeach al yedutun Mizmor leDavid. This is, if you remember, we had already one statement, one opening like that. It's the conductor is David, but if you remember, it was meant for the Levites, Bnei Yedutun. Yedutun was a Levi that his children were serving in Bet HaMikdash. If you remember a few weeks ago, we already had a few Mizmorim like that. אך אל אלוקים דומיה נפשי ממנו ישועתי. Only to God my silent soul is aiming and screaming to. Only he will bring me my salvation. In life, there are many religious people in life. They, of course, they love Hashem, they trust Hashem, they keep mitzvot, they learn Torah, they pray. 99% of us are like that. But almost each one of us has a major, major, major problem in his life. Real major problem. Even though we trust Hashem, even though we know it's all in his hand, even though we know he's watching us, we know what we got is from him for good and for bad, this is kindergarten stuff. Everyone knows it. Little kids, you teach them first thing in kindergarten. They know it. Many of the goyim also knows it. But we're focusing right now on Jews. So many of the Jews, they know it. And they try to keep as many mitzvot as they can. But they have one major obstacle in their connection with Hashem. One major problem who actually mess up our life in many times. What is it? That we trust Hashem and another person. There's another person in a picture. I trust Hashem and I also trust my boss to help me. I trust Hashem and I trust my biological father to help me. I trust Hashem and I trust the Gmach to help me. I trust Hashem, I trust the rabbi to help me. I trust Hashem, I trust my rich friend to help me. As long as it's Hashem plus, this plus is actually a minus. It takes away a lot from the help of Hashem. As David HaMelech wrote in Tehilim, we'll get to it. Al tivtechu b'indivim beben adam she'en lo tshua tetze ruho yashuv l'admato. Don't trust generous people. You know, today they're alive, tomorrow they're in the grave. The only one can really save you, it's Hashem. Hashem used people sometimes as his messengers, of course. But if you put your trust in people, many of the time you'll be majorly disappointed. And this is the whole point here. That to trust someone else also, it doesn't help you extra. It actually reduces the amount of help that Hashem will give you. That's why we always, when we have a problem, we have to only speak to Hashem. You find a way how you want to help me. You want to help me from Moshe, you want to help me through the rabbi, you want to help me through the Gmach, you want to help me from Tom Cheshabes, you want to help me by finding a good job. You have your ways. I'm not going to tell you how to help me. Right now I need money, and I need it fast, and if I don't have money, I lose my home, or I lose my business. You know, people have this kind of challenges in life. So, the more you trust Hashem, the less you have to worry about your situation and the less you have to beg people. So it's saying like this. Hashem only, ach, is, we say in Yom Tov, v'samachta b'chagecha v'ayita ach sameach. You know that song? It's a verse from the Torah. V'samachta b'chagecha. Ve'ayita ach sameach. Ach means rak, only. You should be only happy on Yom Tov. Nothing else. Nothing should disturb you. Don't deal with anything. Don't push your nose into things. No politics, no nothing. Just, you are in Yom Tov now. It's a holiday. Focus on the happiness of the holiday. Ve'ayita ach sameach. You only have permission to be happy. Nothing else. The word ach, meaning Ach with Chaf, not Chet. Ach with Chet means a brother. Ach with Chaf meaning only. Ach hu tzuri v'ishuati. Only Hashem is my strength and my salvation. I focus on the word only. Only Hashem, not Hashem and someone else. Not my brother, not my sister, not my mother, not my father, not my best friends. You may come and say, wait a minute, if your friend wouldn't help you, where would you be today? Of course. You owe him a lot of gratitude after the fact. But before, who do you beg to help you? To Hashem, not to people. You understand? Don't worry, Hashem will find how to help you. you sometimes focusing, my brother will help me. My brother, why? He has a lot of money. It's nothing for him. I'm his brother. He's going to help me. How do you know that Hashem wants your brother to help you? Maybe he has a much better plan for you. Hashem has many ways. So the idea is you come to the boss. You have in a company, you have thousands of employees. You need someone to help you. You can go to one by one and ask for help, and 20, 30 of them will insult you and just kick you out of their office. Or you can come to the big boss that you trust and he loves you, and you say to him, boss, I need help. I won't be able to do it on my own. Please help me. The boss will choose which one will help you. Once the boss assigns him, that's it. You don't have to worry. It's an order. So he says, Hashem is my only strength. Misgabi lo emot rabah. I will never collapse forever. When I trust Hashem, you can never collapse. Ad ana. Somebody needs the mental help here. Ad ana. I mean, I meant the motorcycle outside. Ad ana tehotetu al ish teratzchu kulchem. The word tehotetu with hey, tehotetu with aleph means make a signal when you make a turn in your car, itut. But here it's tehotetu with hey. I give you, I promise you, you take 1,000 Israeli from the university. 1,000 doctors, lawyers, judges, anyone you want. Ask him what's the meaning of the word tehotetu with hey. If one of them will know it, I'll give you a prize. No one will know it. They never heard it from their life. Unless if they're very religious and they read Tehillim every day, that's a different story. Regular professors, nobody heard this word. Nobody used this word. It's a very old word. What does it mean? Plan bad things. That a person is planning a bad, he has a bad plan. Ad ana tehotetu al ish. David is referring to the wicked people. Until when you're going to plan your bad plans? Don't you ever get tired from all this wickedness? Al ish teratzchu kulchem kikir natui gader atchuya. On a straight, honest person, you're planning to murder him. You are like a wall that is about to collapse on his head any minute. Like a fence that came out of the ground, that it looks like it's still standing, but it's really not connected anymore. You come to lean on it, it all breaks. Why? Because it's the foundation came out. Ach miseto ya'atzu le'adiach irtzu kazav. But the pride of the wicked person and his plan to make me fall, irtzu kazav. Yachpetzu le'shaker. You not only lying to the world, you're also lying to yourself. Because if a person knows that he's not righteous, and the person is about to attack is very righteous, he would think a million times before making such a mistake. So what? How am I going to go against Hashem? It's against the Torah. I go against the righteous person? How can I do such thing? Oh, the righteous person didn't help you enough. He says something you don't like. You expected him more. Whatever the case is. Even you may be right. Let's say you're right. After all, he's righteous. He's righteous. Even David, when Shaul is chasing him to kill him, Shaul HaMelech, for the entire time, you don't see that he confronts Shaul. He had a chance to kill him in a cave, but he only cut a piece of his coat. He didn't kill him. Why didn't kill him? Somebody comes to kill you and you have an opportunity to eliminate him? It's 100% kosher. Yes, when it's a wicked person, of course. The Torah say, someone on the way to kill him, make sure you go and kill him. On the way to kill you, make sure you go and kill him first. Why? It's self-defense. 100%. If a person reaches hand to the gun and standing in front of you in the middle of a fight and he reaches hand to the gun, when are you planning to shoot him? When he already aimed at you? By then it will be too late. You'll be both dead. As soon as he pulls his gun out, before he even lifts his hand, You must shoot him, otherwise you'll be dead. That's what the Torah says. The Torah didn't say like the foolish Israeli army, wait until the Arab throw the fire at your head, then you're allowed to take your gun out of your case. That's only in Israel, because they're afraid of Obama in Europe. In any other army, look at the Saudis in Yemen now. Nobody wait for them to move. As soon as they see them, they kill them. You see your enemies, you kill them. What, do you wait for the enemy to attack you? You know that as soon as he has the opportunity, he'll kill you. He proved it a million times. You don't need him to prove it one more time. But this is how the liberals control the world. Everything by them is for the enemy. For the enemy. Traitors. Everything for the enemy. So what's going on here? So he says, if David had an opportunity to eliminate his Shaul, that he was his major threat. He has soldiers, he's a king, people afraid of him. Slaughter him and finish. He's in a cave. No one would even know it's you. And you got rid of your problem. But he's afraid of Hashem. How am I going to kill a righteous person? But a righteous person wants to kill you. He's making a mistake. If he knew all the details, he would not want to kill me. All the people around him instigate. All these people, they instigate the wicked people, Doeg and all the rest. Avner, all the other people around Shaul, they were dying to see David getting killed. So what's going on? So he said, I'd rather run than kill a righteous person. But today, nobody cares. Righteous, not righteous. Yeah, right the way they say what they want. No problem. And also, not. It's one thing he said to his wife. It's also Lashon Hara. But right away, he runs to the internet to make sure the whole world knows. You understand? So here he's saying like this. Not only you're planning your evil plans to murder an innocent straight person, you're like a wall that is about to collapse on his head. But you actually lied not only to the whole world, you lied to yourself to convince yourself that what you do is mitzvah. This is what David said. Why? Because how a person would attack a tzaddik? He first has to convince himself that this tzaddik is not really tzaddik. Then it will be a lot easier to go and kill him. If I know he's a tzaddik, I'm going to be able to do such a crime. So I have to find a reason. So that's how he convinced himself. He has to convince himself why this person deserves to get it. And in the beginning, he begins to believe his lie, and tomorrow a little more, and the next day a little more, until when he does it, no guilty feeling. I did what had to be done. But the reality doesn't change. The illusion in your mind changed. The reality doesn't change. You actually made the whole plan in your mind, and it's all based on one lie after the other. It's all fake. You live in illusion. It's not true. So the idea is that he writes here, Ach miseto ya'atzu la'adiach irtzu kazav. Even to themselves, l'shaker benafsham, they lie to their own, to themselves. Be'fiv yevarchu u'bekirvam yekalelu sela. In their mouth they bless, but at the same second they curse with their heart. You know how people, oh, how are you? How are you? And not even a second later, he said, oh, this guy came here again. The hypocrite. One in the mouth, one in the heart, Chazal say. Chad bapeh, chad balev. What's in the mouth, what's in the heart, meaning in the thought, in the mind. Every time they say in the heart, meaning what you think. What you think and what you say, sometimes the opposite. But Hashem gave us a way to know how to identify hypocrite people. How? Body language. Learn body language. It will help you a lot in life. For me, for instance, it helps a lot in life. I knew right away if to argue with a person or to continue, not to waste time. If he's convinced, if it's a show off, if his question is legit, or if he's only... What's the story with this Meshuga here? Ay, ay, ay. That's what happens when people that need help don't get it. You understand? So the idea is, the idea here is that if a person that makes a statement in his mouth, but his heart is the opposite, the body will turn him in. If you learn body language, you will know right away who really like you, who doesn't. You can see right away which person speaks Lashon Hara about you, as soon as you meet him. How do you know? How do you meet a person right now? He didn't see him for 2 weeks. You can see right away by actually looking in his face. 2 seconds, you can see if he was speaking Lashon Hara about you or not. How do you know? The body turned him in. You see, if you know body language, you see that this person actually, when he's facing you now accidentally in a wedding or on a bus or whenever he met you, you see that in the time that he say hello or shake your hands, you see the suffering is on his body. He can make a fake smile. In America, they're very good with that. Ah, how are you? And it's all fake. But the body turns the truth out. The truth comes out from the body. If he's shrinking, if he's like, the body is relaxed, the legs are open, the legs are small, the shoulders, the way the head move, the eyes is the main thing. If he can look at you, or his eyes cannot look at you when he has, because just 2 hours ago he was speaking Lashon Hara, murdering you in public, very hard for him to say hello to you. You know, I tell you something. There is one liberal modern, very, very big rasha. All he does, he writes bad things in the internet against big rabbanim. This guy decided to circle the shul today. It's very strange. Very strange. Maybe it's the guy that I'm talking about. Who knows? You know, so this Rasha, all he does, he writes in the internet. You speak that marriage must be separate. He writes, not true, it can be mixed. You write, gays is not allowed in the Torah. Not true. Everything you say, he say the opposite. And in the end, he called himself a rabbi. Hard to believe. So this Rasha Merusha, I never saw his face. I found out who he is by looking at him, and even though I never knew his face. How? I went to Brit Milah in Great Neck, and in a Brit Milah in Great Neck, I saw there were maybe 200 people. All the people were extremely friendly and nice. Are you rabbi? Hugs, kisses, very friendly Persians. And then I saw this person, the face of the Satan, much like this. I looked and I said to myself, what a rasha this person is, without knowing that this is the one. And then when I came to my friend, that was the father of the baby, I said to him, who is this person? And he told me his name is such and such. I said, unbelievable. Mamash Ruach HaKodesh fell on me. I said to him, how do you dare to let this Rasha participate in your place? Poor baby. He said to me, do you know how much I was fighting for him not to be here? But what can I do? Family issue. It would cause a fight in a family. But you understand what it is? This liberal Rasha is incredible how Rasha he can be. More than any secular person you can imagine. Why? Because most of the secular people, they're making their sins for desires. Not that they hate Hashem. Some of them, unfortunately, are anti-Hashem. But most of them, when they have problem, who do you think they talk to? If a secular Jew has an accident, 99 out of 100, in the time of an accident, who they scream to? Hashem, help me, please. Wow, God, help me. Oh, my God, oh, my God. Today it's Gash. But it used to be God. You know? But they mean God, don't worry. Oh my gosh. You understand? However, the Christians, it's a different story. When they say, oh my God, they mean JC. It's a problem. Ay, 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 ay. Like they say in Italy, mamma mia. I'm going to Italy in 3 weeks. I better learn Italian. Weekend there, weekend seminar. All right, so let's move on. So David says here over here, it says, you are my strength, you are my foundation. These wicked people, they saying in their mouth one thing, but in their heart is the total opposite. Ach le'elokim domi nafshi. Ach to my God, ach again, only. Only to God my soul is expecting. Expecting meaning a salvation. Ki mimenu tikvati, because all my hopes come from him. Ach hu tzuri v'yishuati, again ach. Already third time. Emphasize, put the highlight on the word ach, ach, ach. Only, only. Not Hashem and someone else. Hashem only. Someone attacks you, don't run to him. Run to Hashem. Don't run to this lawyer and this friend. First run to Hashem. You understand? Of course, you can do ishtadlu, don't get me wrong. You need a doctor, you need a doctor. You need a lawyer, you need a lawyer. Whatever you need. But the hope, I know Hashem runs the world. With all due respect to the doctor, to the lawyer, and to the friend, and to the parents, and to whoever helps you, they deserve a lot of appreciation, of course. You always have to be grateful. But in your mind, Hashem is everything. Hashem runs everything. Hashem, if Hashem wants, that's what's going to happen. If he doesn't want, it will never happen. Now we hope that if Hashem didn't want, hopefully I can convince him to want. With my behaving, with my prayers, with my donation. So it says like this. Ach hu tzuri v'yishuati misgabi lo emot. Hashem is my strength, my salvation. When he's with me, I can never collapse. Al Elokim ish'ir chvodi. I'm counting on Hashem to save me. Tzur uzi machsi be'elokim. I'm putting my cover under Hashem. B'itchu bo bechol et. Trust Hashem in any time. Am shifchu lefanav levavchem. Nation, speak what's in your heart, meaning what's in your mind, to Hashem. Not to others, to Hashem. Lefanav levavchem. Open up the heart. Elokim machse lanu sela. Hashem is our strength for eternity. Ach hevel bnei adam kazav bnei ish. Only people are false. Only people are liars, but not Hashem. Ach hevel, counting on people, only disappointment you get. Bnei ish, son of people, people, son of people, children of people. Bemoznaim la'alot hema me'evel yachad. If you put them on a scale, and you put on the other side nonsense and lies, the people and the lie is equal. It's giving a parable. Meaning, don't expect too much from people. You put the lie on one side, you put the person on the other side, usually it's equal. Usually, there's an exception to the rule. There are people who are really extremely great. You meet them from time to time. But in general, with the help of the Satan and evil inclination, people are falling into the lies. So it says like this, Al tivtechu be'oshek uvegazel al tehebalu chayil ki anuv al tashitu lev. Translation, don't trust stealing. Don't trust stolen. Don't be fool to accumulate wealth in a non-kosher way. Because the more stolen things will be in your possession, the worse the situation eventually will be. Al tashitu lev, don't pay attention to this. Achat diber Elokim, shtaim zu shamati. Hashem said one thing, I heard two things. He said once, but I learned two things from it. Ki oz le'elokim, because the strength is only by Hashem. Ulecha Hashem chased, and Hashem also is kind. Ki ata teshalem le'ish kema'aseu, because you, God, will pay everyone exactly what they deserve. So when I say it, you can agree, you can disagree, big deal. But when David HaMelech say it with Ruach HaKodesh 3,000 years ago, and it's in the Tanakh because Hashem confirmed it, meaning, remember the conclusion of this Mizmor, chapter 62, everyone in the end will get what he deserves. Everyone. Even the good ones, even the bad ones, even the worst one. Everyone will get, I highlight the word, in the end. Soon or later, could be tomorrow, could be next week, could be in 10 years, could be in 100 years, could be in your next body. When your soul will be in a different body, you'll be a slave somewhere for 80 years. In the end, what you stole, you will return whether you like it or not. You can return it now, or you can make an agreement that you have to return some, not the whole thing. Or you don't return it in a good way. You'll return it with lots of blood and lots of tears. One way or the other, it will happen. And all the people who murder with their mouth, and all the people who murder with their fingers, and all the people who murder with their hands, what do you think? Hashem is not registering everything you did? It's enough that you say one word to a person that was angry about another one, to instigate a little more, to get him even angrier, because you wanted to find favor in his eye, but you didn't think about the consequences. Now he's going to go, until now he wanted to punch him, now he's going to go and stab him because of your help. And you sometimes even agree that this person doesn't deserve to get stabbed or to get killed. You have nothing against him. Excuse me, buddy, it's nothing personal. I just wanted to be friends with a murderer. Why? He has interest. He has a reason. He wants to do business with him. Sorry, nothing personal. Like I always give this example, you find it a lot in shuls, not only in Sodom and Gomorrah. You find it in shuls. It's enough that there's one bad board member in a shul, wicked, evil, mechalel Shabbat, noef, rasha, ganav. Usually it's a package deal. Usually it goes with Mary to Goya as well, you know. So he gives money because his conscience, after all, kills him inside. So how does these wicked people want to relax themselves? They're offering a lot of money to the shul. Let me pay the shul. Let me pay. Give you $1 million, Rabbi. I'll help you to build the shul. Then everybody owes them. They want to sit on the board because they gave the money. And they control the rabbi because they're evil, they're wicked. They cannot connect to the truth of the Torah. So they control the rabbis. Many of the rabbis are miserable. They suffer from these people. They hate them themselves. They hate them because they're wicked. They go against Hashem. But the rabbi, unfortunately, is a puppet. What can he do? As soon as he opens up his mouth, this guy will fire him. Or will get all the other wicked people in a shul to push him out. So some of those rabbis, believe me, they cry at night. I know a few of them. They cry at night from the situation until they can't take it anymore. You may ask why they don't leave right away. So as soon as one or two incidents happen, they should run away right away from this Sodom and Gomorrah place. The answer is, it's not so easy to talk. He already found yeshivot to his children. He already moved to that location. They finally got used to the new community. Now he's going to leave and go to another place, and his children every 2-3 weeks will be in a different school. It's not so simple. Sometimes it's money issues. He'll lose his job. Until he finds another job, may take 6 months. In the end, he's going to go bankrupt. All kinds of other problems. It's not an easy test. To judge those rabbis is very easy. If you be in their place, you would not do better than them. So we're not here to judge them. We are here to judge the wicked people that causing this situation. They want, it's called in Hebrew, Baal Ame'ah u Baal Ade'ah. The owner of the money is the owner of the opinions. How many times in my life, especially dealing with the public so much, I've seen people that are very rich, but very stupid, very, very stupid. But everywhere they go, they let them speak, and everyone around them, like it's the president of heaven. Why everyone gives them so much attention? Kissing up to the wicked people, that's one of the serious violations of the Torah. Chanfanim. This one of the four groups that Hashem cannot look at. People who kissing up to wicked people. Be straight. I don't care, he has money. Well, I'm going to run to say hello to him because I know he has millions. Big deal. But say hello to the poor man. You can say hello to him as well. Nothing extra. No hugs, no fake kisses, no fake l'chaim. None of these things. Hashem has to be in front of you. What will Hashem think about me being such a loser? What will Hashem think about me being such a hypocrite? I remember one time I went to L.A. And in one of the, I've been there more than 20 times. So you won't know which one of the times I'm talking about and which one of the places. But I spoke in one place. And the person who invited me told me, I'm bringing one of the richest people in America, maybe in the world. He has hundreds of stores. That's how, very, very famous, you know, businessman. Supposedly Shomer Shabbat, supposedly. Please be soft. He said, in your speech, I want him to give you a lot of money for the CDs, for the Kiruv. That person meant well. I'm just telling you, please be soft. Don't say this, don't speak about Goyot, don't speak about that. Because you know how it is. These people, they do whatever they want with their money. They kosherize everything. So please be, by bottom line, politically correct. So when I came to speak, there was a lot of people. And who sits in front of my face? This Rasha that controls everyone with his money. So I decided, I said to myself, look, I'm going to be now soft and not say all the truth. And maybe give me a big check. Maybe yes, maybe not. Or I'm going to say, you know what? I trust him. I have to trust Hashem. Well, he runs the world. I'm going to stick to the truth and say exactly what needs to be heard. So I spoke very strong. Everyone was happy except this guy. In the end of the lecture, he said to me, look how everyone is delighted. What great response. But I'm so disappointed. Why? The guy came to me after. He said, don't bring him anymore. You heard me? So I asked him why. It's too strict. Of course, because I told him the truth in his face. Because he already told me some of his actions before. So all of a sudden, somebody said to this Rasha the truth in his face. He went crazy. In a place where you feel like this is my home yard here. This is what it is. Yeah, there's a lot to learn from David HaMelech. In a million years, we won't reach his level. Not that I, Chas v'Shalom, intend to claim that I'm 1% of him, but to learn a little bit from him. To be straight. To say it as it is. Not to be politically correct, because it means to be politically correct means to be a liar with a nice title on top. It's no different. It's a liar. Politically correct is a liar. Get it to your head. Politically correct is a liar. Saying half of the truth of the Torah is a liar. Saying what the Torah never said or the opposite of what's written is a liar. And what does the Torah say about lies? Midvar sheker tirchak. Hashem cannot stand liars. You want to be in a category that Hashem cannot stand you? It's your call. I'm trying not to be in that list. If I made it or not, we'll see one day. Well, I'm trying at least. But there are people who already became a habit for them, all the lies and the kissing up and the politics. Just 3-4 weeks, this Lapid Haman HaRasha that hates Torah so much, criticizing Netanyahu and the government, and the government is religious, righty, extreme, and they're expanding the number of the ministers because they have to give everyone to eat from the cake. And he went to the Israeli court to fight them. In 1 minute, today they told him, listen, we may need you in a government. Let's talk. The dog in 1 minute silent himself, no more barking. He agreed to enter the government. How can it be such thing? If he go in or not, How can it be for 3 weeks you criticize them? They this, they that, they this. They said to her, come on, join us. Okay. I want to vomit when I see this thing. I have to hold it in. I want to vomit when I see this kind of people. I don't know. Okay, so chapter 63, a little summary of chapter 63. Amazing. It says like this. The writer is praying in this mizmor while he ran into the desert from his enemies and is in a place that there's no water there. But he's not worried right now that there's no water. No water, your life is in a risk, in the middle of nowhere. But what concerns him in his problems right now is that he's far away from Hashem. So he begins this mizmor with showing Hashem how much he misses him. How much he misses him. And the more he talks, the more he's missing Hashem. Much, much, much more than what he is anxious to get water. As he's speaking to Hashem, he has like a vision, like the spirit of Hashem is on him. And he feels great pleasure, like a person that has the best stuff on earth. And he compares his love to Hashem like a love of a man to a woman. Do you know how many people are dead because of their love? They're willing to go to risk their life for someone that they were loving in the name of love. So how many men lost everything they have because they loved a woman and she wasn't so decent and she destroyed them? All kinds of stories like this. Sometimes the love ends beautifully. It lasts for a long time and a lot of great things come out of it. And it's really, really one of the greatest things in life. Even though today people are afraid to talk about it because it's not so modest. But if you really see some of the greatest rabbis 700-800 years ago, they used to write love stories, Rabbi Yehuda Halevi and others. Love stories of a man to a woman, man to his wife, man to his fiance that is about to marry her, or, you know, things like this. It's not against the law. Today, because the world is so corrupted and so unclean, it's dangerous to write things like this in public. Because right away, all the losers take it and do bad use with that. But back in the days, the mind of the people were much cleaner than today, more pure. So if somebody wrote a love song to a woman, that was really from a pure soul, from a pure heart. Not chas v'shalom to use her or to make sins with her. That wasn't the intention ever. So he's comparing the love, like Rambam, by the way, does the same use. Compare a few times the love of a person to Hashem like a love of a person to a woman. Because this is something actual that we can understand what it is. Even though many people in the world never felt love in their life, they got married without love. They didn't have the right teacher to teach them if to get married or not to get married. And the Shatran wanted to make his commission, so he pushed them into the relationship and messed up their life. There are millions, millions of women and men who live in relationship with no love. No love, no nothing. Just like two roommates who runs a business together. Raising the children, sharing the money, sharing the house. That's it. But really a part of the marriage is that a person, husband and wife, should have strong love and, you know, attraction to each other. That's really the kosher way of it. We are not Christians who modified the Torah and messed it up. In the Torah, the first mitzvah is to get married and to love your wife and to have children with her. They went and destroyed this mitzvah and say, if you want to be righteous, you have to be single all your life. Can't get married. Now you see the results of this nonsense. It's against Hashem. But I don't really understand those who wrote this, the rules of Christianity. Where was the mind when they wrote it? Don't they read in the Torah that they admitted that it's the book of God? that Hashem is interested that men and women will get married and be together? Didn't they read in the Tanakh how many love stories and things like this? What got to their mind to change the truth of God to the opposite side, 180 degrees? It's hard to believe. What I'm more surprised of is how millions of people follow this nonsense. Where is their mind when they see it's the total opposite of the Torah? When Mashiach comes, we'll understand what got through their mind. When they wrote it and when they follow it, only Hashem knows. So we continue here. So this mizmor is that he said that the same way a person is together, connected to his love, same thing, he is connected right now to Hashem in such devotion and excitement and with confidence that Hashem will help him against all those enemies who chased him. Let's see. Well, he was in Judea's desert, right there, you know, in Israel there. Let's see some of the meaning of the words of this mizmor. Mizmor le David biyoto b'midbar Yehuda. This mizmor, David HaMelech wrote when he was in a Judea desert with no water, feeling far away from Hashem, and he decided to write to him this song. When was it? 3,000 years ago. Biyoto b'midbar Yehuda. As he was running away from Shaul HaMelech, Saul, Elokim Eli ata ashachareka. God, Hashem, you my God, you my strength. I'm requesting for your mercy. Tzama lecha nafshi. My soul is thirsty to you. Kama lecha besari. My flesh is desiring you. Every inch of my body desire you, Hashem. In a place with nothing in it, open desert, and with no water, tired, exhausted, with no water. Ken bekodesh chaziticha, I am viewing you with such holiness. לראות עוזך וכבודך, to see your honor, your strength. כי טוב חסדך מחיים שפתה ישבחונך. The kindness when I'm alive that you do for me will make my lips praise you. כן אברכך בחיי, I will bless you in all my life. בשמך אשא כפי. When I mention your name, I will spread my hands open, anxiously waiting for your salvation. כמו חלב הדשן תשבע נפשי, like eating the best stuff on earth, that's how the body will be full, that's how my soul is full. ושפתי רננות יעלה לפי, and my lips will sing all these songs to praise you. Im zchartiha al yitzuai beashmurot egebach. When I go to sleep, I remember you. When I open my eyes, the first thing in my mind is you. That's how we do it in Judaism. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Think about Hashem before you close your eyes. First thing in the morning, Modeh ani lefanecha melech chai v'kayam. Right away, speaking about Hashem. First thing, you just open your eyes, Modeh ani lefanecha melech chai v'kayam, shechezart abi nishmati bechemla rabba emunatecha. Ki haita ezrat ali, you are my strength, my help, uvetzel knafecha aranen. Under your wings, I'm singing to you while I'm hiding and protected by you. Davka nafshi acharecha, my soul is connected to you. Follow you. Bitam chayim inecha, your right arm is supporting me. Hema leshoai evakshu nafshi, my enemies wants to bring a holocaust to my soul. Shoah means holocaust. the biggest tragedy you can imagine. That's why the Holocaust that happened by the Nazis, Yimach Shimam, it's called the Shoah, HaShoah. The word HaShoah, does it appear in the Torah or no? HaShoah. It appears in the Tanakh a few times, as you can see here. Well, in the five book of Moses, the word Shoah appear or no? It appears in Parshat Vayelech, in hidden codes inside the text that describe the Holocaust. In a part of the Torah that Hashem warned Moshe, that one day after you die, these children of Israel will betray me, and I would leave them and close my eyes, and I will not be there to protect them. And that part in the Torah that describes that Hashem will be so angry at us and leave us to the hands of the cruel enemies, that part you have the word HaShoah, hey, 49 letters, the 50th letters is Shin, 50th letters Vav, 50th letters Aleph, 50th letters Hey. HaShoah, inside the Torah, in equal skip, in a code, hidden code. Where, of course, not coincidentally, in the part in the Torah that described the Holocaust. If it would be somewhere else, speaking about, the Exodus of Egypt, which is a happy thing, then you would say, well, it's very nice that it's equally hidden, but what's the connection between where it is? Why it's here and not here? But it falls exactly where it belongs. You see the hand of Hashem. Same thing, the word AIDS. Aleph, Yud, Yud, Dalet, Samech. Where does it fall in the Torah? In chapter Noach, when they speak about homosexuality. Write that part in the Torah that speaks about them, that they came to rape the guests. So the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, they wanted to rape the three guests that Lot had, and they're breaking the door. They didn't know it's their angels. Lot offered his daughter, they didn't want. So the angel blinded them with mirrors, they couldn't open their eyes. And that's how they came out of Sodom and Gomorrah, and Hashem destroyed all the wicked people. So we see in the Torah that there's a chapter that's speaking about the big crime of being a gay. And right there, the word AIDS appear in equal mathematical skip. You want to think it's coincidence? I don't know what planet you live. For me, it's more than clear that it's a very, very serious message to stop all this immorality. And somebody that needs to be treated, they can be treated. There are many, many sicknesses in life. That's one of thousands, or maybe more. He needs to be treated for that. She needs to be treated for that. The one with the motorcycle needs to be treated for his proud, for his pride and ego and attention, lack of attention. And he has to be treated that something in his mind doesn't work correctly. Emotions is to the wrong people. They have to turn the switch inside. Psychologically, it can be done. It's a combination of prayers, tears, screaming to Hashem, and being psychologically treated can be cured. Life will be great once they cure. But the problem today, that they try to show that they're very happy in their situation. That's the normal way. That's the right way. The way things work in this world, one day the straight people would be called not normal. Because the normal will be them. Because they brainwash the whole world, everywhere. Television, newspaper, magazine, parades. They bring their dirt everywhere. And everyone fall into that trap. All the liberals, of course, they always go to the negative side, always. So with the help of the liberals, and what's happening today in the world, the righteous people, or the straight people, I should say, one day they'll feel embarrassed to walk in the street. Person would like to walk with his wife on the street, they look at him like this, hey, go to San Francisco, you don't belong here. He will be the not normal. You need to be treated. Why? Well, how come you have a female wife? You understand? You're laughing, you think I'm joking, huh? Ay, I wish I was. So, it says like this. my mouth will sing to you. When I go to sleep, I remember you. When I wake up, first thing in my mind is you. Davka nafshi acharecha, my soul is connected to you. Bitamcha yeminecha, your right arm supporting me. Hema leshoai evakshu nafshi, those enemies of mine trying to bring a tragedy on me, a holocaust. Yavo betachtiyot haaretz. That's why they will go deep into Gehinnom. That will be their end. Yagiruhu al yedei charev. Their blood will be spilled by swords. Menat shualim yiyu. The fox will eat their bodies. You understand? Hey, Rabbi, can you be a little bit more positive? A little bit more, you know? We don't need this description. It's not the rabbis. It's David HaMelech wrote it. What does he wish his enemies, these wicked people, that not only that they should be wiped out from the face of the earth, they should be wiped out in a way that everybody will see what's the end of the wicked people. Why? That's going to be big Kiddush Hashem. Big Kiddush Hashem. Imagine if we had the merit that Hashem will do a huge miracle for us. In one day, 1,000 Hamas and Hezbollah murderers will be all get killed and the dogs will eat their bodies. The whole world will have the shock of their life. Yeah, no one will deny that is a miracle from Hashem. One here, two there, five there. People say it's a war. Yeah, it's normal. 1,000 in one day and they all have the same end. Dogs eating their bodies on the floor, on everywhere, here in Lebanon, in Gaza. It will be something that no one will ever forget. It will be, everyone will be shocked, because that's called a massive Chidush Hashem. That all the murderers of the Jewish children in one shot will be wiped out in such a way. Why doesn't it happen? We don't have the merit. We're barely surviving. Not to talk about winning, we're barely surviving with them. So he says, they'll be the meal of the foxes. והמלך ישמח באלוקים, and the king, me, David, will rejoice in Hashem, in his salvation. יתעלל כל הנשבע בו, כי יסחר פי דוברי שקר. Everyone that believe in Hashem and swear only in Hashem, the people would see that the people that speak lies, their mouth will be blocked permanently. There will be time that nobody, none of these liars will be able to continue with their lies. It's just a matter of time. But this is the end of chapter 63. We're going right away to chapter 64. A summary of chapter 64. This mizmor, it's a prayer of a righteous man that enemies are chasing him and making him problems. He's asking Hashem in a present language to protect him from those. Then he begins to describe all the actions of the wicked people, their evil way, their evil plans against the innocent person. He gives a lot of parables here and all kinds of special words that he's using. He's not particularly referring to the wicked of the enemy of himself specifically. It's a general song for generations, for everyone innocent that is chased by evil people and they do all kinds of dirty things against him. This is the mizmor for him to use. So if you have people that does it to you at work, in the army, in a neighborhood, in a shul, now you know which mizmor to read. Chapter 64. Lamnatzeach mizmor leDavid. The song that David wrote. Shema Elokim koli besichi. Hashem, listen to me when I pray. מפחד אויף תיצור חיי, from the fear of the enemies, you will protect my life. תסתירני מסוד מרעים, hide me from all the groups of wicked people who makes meetings how to stop and kill me. Merigshat bo alehaven, when all the committees of all the wicked people gathering into one place. Asher shanenu kacherev leshonam, they made their tongue very, very sharp, like a sword. Darchu chitzam davar mar, they took their bow and arrow, they made sure not only that the arrow would come to me, that it will have poison on the top, on the head. They made it full. That's how they used to do it. They used to put poison inside from the plants or whatever, and they shoot it, it penetrates right into the body. Sometimes it doesn't kill the person, because not every hole in the body goes to the heart or to the lung. It can go in between. And then it's only a weak recovery and you're out of the hospital. Even gunshot. But when it has poison in it, right though it opens the poison of a snake or something like that, that's how the Indians used to fight. When the Americans, before Obama, they stole their land and now they come to preach to Israel why they're not allowed to sit in their homeland. You understand the hypocrisy? A nation that stole their country from the miserable Indians, okay? Then stole their land, got rid of them, gave them few casinos here and there, lollipop to be quiet. They live over here in this great, huge, beautiful, natural country. And they come to the nation of Israel that they are the only nation in history that has a divine document that they own the land. No other nation in the world has a document. Nobody has a deed. The last one that stole the land owned the land all over the world. The many, many countries who occupy, the Muslim occupy here, so they sit here. The Spanish occupy here, the Turk occupy here, the Armenians occupy there, the British occupy there. Whoever occupy last, no problem, it's yours. The only one that their land was stolen from them is the Jews, the Israel. And when finally came to go back to their home, they made up a scam, Palestinian. Where this name Palestine came from, do you know? Well, the Greeks made it up. There's no such thing. There was a little tiny city called from Plishtim, Pleshet. So they say, after the back in the time, like 2,000 years ago, so they say, let's call this whole area Palestine, Palestina. We'll call this whole area. But everybody that knows a little bit history knows that 100 years ago, there was no such a nation, ever in history, such a nation called Palestine. Never. It was British, Seljuki, Turks, Ottomani, British, Persian, all kinds of nations. Every once in a while, another nation comes here and sits. There was never in history a Palestinian nation. Nothing, not in the books. They never had a flag, they never had an anthem, they never had an army, they never had a government. They don't have history books that describe their position on Israel in the last 2,000 years. Nothing whatsoever. It doesn't exist. It's the biggest scam in history, this Palestinian issue. You never in your life such thing. And the world is cooperating with them from two reasons. One, they hate Jews. And second, they're afraid of the Arabs in the world. They, as long as they have the oil, they don't want to mess with them. One day, the world won't need their oil. But the problem will not be solved because they still will be hating Jews. So one time here, one problem here can be cured. The other problem, it did not get cured for 3,000 years. What makes you believe it will go away anywhere? The Gemara says, Safson el Yaakov, even though there's a lot of great righteous Gentiles, some Gentiles are pro-Israel, they love Jews, yes. Many of them don't even know they are Jewish. They themselves Jewish, they don't know. Three generations ago, the grandmother was Jewish. Then, with what happened to the Jewish nation, they don't even know it. So this is where we're standing. So he's writing over here, when they shoot the bow and arrow, They make sure to put poison that I don't have a chance to survive. Lirot b'mistarim tam. They hide and shoot at an innocent person. Pit'om yoridu ve'lo yirau. All of a sudden, they kill him and they have no fear from Hashem whatsoever in the entire process. From the time they plan his assassination until they actually did it, not one second of fear or hesitation. Yechazku lamo davara. They strengthen themselves by telling fairy tales. Yesapru litmon mokshim. They make plans how they're going to put a trap to catch him. Amru mire lamo. Who knows my action? Nobody sees. Where is God? You believe God is watching? If God is watching, he's going to make me not kill you right now. You know how the wicked people in history were talking? Where is your God now? And then, Yachpesu olot, they are looking for false stories. Tamnu chepes mechupas, they making a very careful search. Vekerev ish velev amok, and they have their plans is deep in the heart, searching for the innocent person who is hiding from them. Vayorem Elokim chetz pitom ayum akotam, and then Hashem shot his own arrow at them. Vayachshiluhu alem uleshonam. And what they plan to do to the innocent turned against them. They do call roevam. Those who see them will begin to run away from them. Ve'iru kol adam. All the other people will finally fear Hashem when they see the end of these wicked people. Ve'yagidu po'al Elokim u'ma'aseu askilu. And they begin to praise Hashem. How great Hashem did to these people what they deserve to get. Ismach tzadik b'Hashem, a righteous person will rejoice in Hashem, v'chasabo, and will trust him, v'idhalelu kol yishrei lev. And all the people with a straight heart, the honest, the decent, righteous people, will always sing to Hashem with praises and finally see the happy end. We finished chapter 64. We have time to do one more. Chapter 65, a summary of this chapter. Or maybe finish with that. The summary of this chapter, it was said originally in Beit HaMikdash as a thank you prayer for the rain of blessing. In a year that there was wealth, lots of fruits and vegetables, there is an opinion that this mizmor was originally meant to be told, to be said in the holiday of Sukkot, one of the three festivals, Sukkot, that we pray for the water and for the wealth that Hashem gives us. But apparently this mizmor actually was meant to be told when we say thank you to Hashem for the great rain that comes after years that there was no rain. And when people were begging and crying and praying for rain, because rain was crucial, not like today. Today you don't have rain, it's still crucial. What's the worst can happen? You pay $1 billion a year and you buy water from different countries. You buy millions of bottles of water every year, you import. People that needs to take shower, you make an agreement to make a pipe from a country like Lebanon or Turkey or one of these countries. You buy water from them. They keep sending you from their water and you pay them based on, you know, how much water you get. Today there are technical solutions, but back in the day if there's no water for one whole season, that's it, that sentence. No wheat. No barley, no fruit, the animals are dying, no grass for the animals to eat, no meat, no fish, no bread, no nothing. All the trees are dying. It's mamash a dead sentence. So they used to say this mizmor after finally the rain came. The Gemara says there was one time like this, Gemara in Ta'anit, that there was no rain. They came to the president and they told him, bring us rain, chief, rabbi, do something. So he started to tell them, pray, do this, do that, nothing else. He gave them a lot of advices, no rain. In the end, he said to them, everybody should dig his grave, lay there and wait. No, there will be nobody to bury you in the end. Make sure you dig it, lay down inside before you die. Because who's gonna, if everyone would die, who's gonna bury the bodies? So everybody started to cry, whoa, this is what the president tells us. Now there's really no hope. So they say, let's ask Rabbi Akiva, he's also holy tzaddik. They say to Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva, Akiva, maybe you bring us rain. Rabbi Akiva said three verses, right away shortly after the rain started. He say, Avinu Malkenu, Chatanu lefanecha, Avinu Malkenu, en lanu melech ata. Three times he said, Avinu Malkenu. Avinu Malkenu, Oshienu, three times. Right away, clouds started to come around, and rain started. So everybody started to say, wait a minute, why is the president when we have someone that is holier than him? Look, he speaks to Hashem, Hashem changed nature for him. He's greater. We should push to make him the president. What do we need him? He didn't do anything for us for 3 months. In 3 minutes, he got us rain. So the Gemara said there was an announcement, not that he's greater than him, no. But he's ma'avir al midotav. He has such good personality, such good midot. No matter what you do to him, he's humble. He doesn't answer, he puts his head down, he forgives easily. He has better midot than the other one was also had good midot. And Rabbi Akiva had extra good, extra. He was very loved by Hashem. I think you can add on top of it two more things. One is he's from descendants of converts, and Hashem loved converts. And the second thing is a Baal Tshuva. Baal Tshuva is even greater than someone that was born religious. Why? Because the Gemara says, "Bemakom shebaale tshuva omdim, afeilu tzadikim gmurim enam omdim." Place of a Baal Tshuva can reach and stand over there in heaven, even from birth cannot reach. People that are religious from birth cannot reach. Why? The main reason is you cannot compare someone that did drugs and quit someone who never did. Someone that never did is clever. Only fools begins with that. But someone was already in it very hard, addicted, and he was able to come out of it. His difficulty to stay out of it, it's much, much harder than someone who never did. Even though someone never did, sometimes have curiosity, what is it like? But when you see how many people are dying from it every year, and how half of the youth today is destroyed because of that, so you think a million times, this is gonna be my end. I'll be this junkie, and this one, and this girl, and this guy. I don't want to end like that. Better I stay with the curiosity than I'll be dead. So this is an example how a person that gave up the addictions and stopped with that, it's harder to reach this level than someone who never did. And one more reason, someone that opened up his eyes to the world and saw all the scenes and women and all places and, you know, all the places that the Satan makes look shiny and beautiful, and he give it up for the truth of Hashem, this is a very high level than someone who all his life lived by the truth of Hashem, is not even aware that this dirt is existing. And there's so many things that people do, he never heard of it from his life. You can see, sometimes you meet frum, especially Hasidim, that they are not, most of them are not so connected to the world, how when they hear about something, they are like totally shocked. They accept it with such shock that they don't understand how can it be. But the rest of the religious people, since they are living with that, they already see it around, they are not so shocked. They already got used to it. But the innocence of some of these Hasidim is really impressive. Sometimes you look at that, I had a Shabbaton with them, maybe I'm influenced by their greatness. I had last Shabbaton, a few hundreds of them, maybe 600, 700, maybe more. And I saw the purity and the innocence of most of them, that they come from a different world. Even though even the Satan penetrates there, unfortunately, in this generation, and occupied some territories, unfortunately. But still, when you see someone who is in that community to someone else, you can see right away a big difference. So the idea is that the entire Jewish nation should have been innocent and disconnected from the dirt and what's going on out there. But it's not a reality anymore. So he's speaking over here, and this Mizmor, about hide me from all the threats, from all the fear. These enemies, they won't rest until they destroy me with their poison. And they will put their traps around me no matter what. So the idea is that this new Mizmor chapter 65, David starts with Hashem lecha dumia teila Elokim betzion. This is a song that David wrote, and I'm silent, and my silence is my way to praise you. What does it mean? Now it's time to do, not to talk. There are two different kinds of praising. Praising with your mouth, praying, saying, singing to Hashem. That's beautiful. Until now, this is everything we said was this. Now it's time to pay my vows. Now I have to be quiet and to pay, to do. Now I have to do. Like Moshe was screaming to Hashem on the exodus of Egypt. The Egyptians are coming. Hashem said to Moshe, Mati tzakelai, what are you screaming now? I'm protecting you. Begin to go, to walk. It's time to do now. David said, now I'm paying you my vows. There's no point of talking anymore. I said enough. Shomea tefila adecha kol basar yavo. This is a very famous verse from the Slichot of Elul. We scream it with tears before the judgment day. Shomea tefila, the one who hears the prayers, Adecha kol basar yavo, everyone, whether they like it or not, will reach all the way up to you in a day of trial. You cannot run away. It's just a matter of time. A blink of the eye, and we are there. Vacation, shmication, another steak, another sushi, another coat, another pair of shoes. Before you realize, it will be all old memory. Then you stand in front of Hashem, and your life story will be displayed on a screen, and all the hidden sins will be shown to everyone, and all the typing and murdering people will be showed in the court of heaven, and then the sentence will be read, and then the millions of years of sufferings will follow. And then you would know very, very well that when the rabbi begged you to stop, and they say, stop, stop with what you're doing, people, stop. You didn't take it serious. In Israel, they have a say, Tzochek mi shetzochek acharon. You laugh now, we'll see who would laugh in the end. So it says like this, Shomea tefila adecha kol basar yavo. The one who listens to the prayers, everyone eventually will reach up to you. Divrei avonot gavru meni. If I want to reveal my sins, I can't even say it. They are higher than my whole height. Peshaenu ata techaprem. We're counting on you to help us to make the repentance, to clean our crimes away from our files. אשרי תבחר ותקרב ישכון חצריך. We say it in ברית מילה, this verse. The person that you choose and give him the merit to come close to you. What do you think? You take it for granted? Every one of you that sits in this shul today have to feel very, 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 very lucky. Very, very lucky. And I'm not giving you a false compliment here. Why are you very, very lucky? Because from a world of 7.5 billion people, nobody knows the truth of God. How many people really knows the truth of God? Maybe 2.5 million. Those who live according to the Torah. 2.5 million. It's not even 1% of 1% of 1%. But from the 2.5 million people, how many of them are really close to Hashem? Everyone that comes to this Wednesday night shiur, it's a shiur that show that a person is connected with Hashem in his life. It's close to Hashem. And it's also an indication that Hashem is interested in the person, that he brings him to the right place to hear the most important parts of the religion. Because, you know, there's sometimes there are shiurim, jokes, this, stories, fine, it's beautiful. But to understand every word of this Tehillim, you have to understand, after the five book of Moses, the second important book is this, Psalms. All the prayers are coming from here. Hundreds of laws came from here. Thousands of verses in the Torah and argument are connected to verses from here. This was written in the highest level of prophecy. This is the highest and the most honest Musar that you can find in life. 99% of the people I met in my life in our nation cannot handle this kind of truth. They run away from it. They don't want to hear it. To come constantly every Wednesday and to listen it live, a very big ma'ala, very big level. It doesn't mean we can forget about our mission to do tshuva every day, of course. But it's a sign they have the merit from Hashem to hear the truth. There are not a lot of people in the world that Hashem gave them the merit to come close to him. Even Avraham Avinu, when he wanted to come close to Hashem, he had to go through a nightmare until he made it. 10 different tests, one harder than the other, until Hashem say, "Ata yadati ki yere Elokim ata." Now I know that you, tzaddik, you fear God. Or you didn't know it after the second time. You didn't know it after the fifth time. You didn't know it after eight time. Only after the 10th time you gave me the stamp. It's not a matter of that you can take for granted. No. 9 tests wasn't enough. Well, we cannot pass one of those tests today. No one. Who would fall into the fire in the name of Hashem? Who would take his son and sacrifice it to Hashem after 99 years of waiting? The things that he did is beyond any understanding. 9 times, if we do it once in our lifetime, millions of people will bow down to us on the street. If they tell us, say that you're not religious, if not, we're throwing you to the fire. And we'll jump into the fire by saying Shema Israel and come out of there alive with no damage. Do you know what would happen in the world if it would happen today? It would be in every Facebook page in history, everywhere. Billion pages maybe. Every other person has a page today. It'll be here, it'll be on YouTube, it'll be on television, in every channel. People would stand, million people a day would stand online to touch your hand. We'll give you billions of dollars. Holy man, take a million, take 1,000. Why? I saw on YouTube what happened to you. You're the holiest person in the world. After that, Hashem didn't even give him the stamp, Yerei Shamayim. Do you hear what I'm saying here or no? He did not consider yet Yerei Shamayim. When was Yerei Shamayim? When he took his son Yitzchak to the Akedah. And he also woke up early in the morning to do it. He didn't wait for the end of the day. And when Hashem told him, that's okay, you don't have to do it, he begged him, let me at least cut him something. That's a devotion. Today, they say on the shul, this person went bankrupt, he needs a lot of our help. please, the rabbi say, I encourage each one of you to go and give him money, help him out to get him back on his feet. So he said, okay, let me go give him $2,000. What can I do? So one of our brothers from the community, how can we ignore it? So you prepare $2,000 cash. You come to this righteous man. You knock on the door. How are you, Itzik? Manyanim, how are you? Okay, here is the rabbi. I heard the announcement. Let me participate in the end. No, no. Baruch Hashem. A lot of people came. I get all the money I need. I can get my house back. I'm good. Baruch Hashem, I'm up to date. Some people, they will have, they will be upset. I should have come 2 hours earlier. It's too late, I missed the mitzvah. But most of the people would say, wow, I'm so happy. They come out, I just saved $2,000. Thinking good thing happened. But in reality, when you're happy, you had an opportunity to do a huge, huge mitzvah. And you miss the mitzvah when you're so happy. The only way you can be happy is when you leave that place, you take the $2,000 and you do something better with that. Then you have the right to be happy. You keep it in your pocket, what are you happy about? It was already dedicated for mitzvah. Why do you keep bringing it back to your bank account? Find what to do with that. So it says, Ashre tivchar utkarev. How lucky is the person that you chose to make him close to you? You found him the right rabbi, the right CDs, the right person who has patience for him and invites him for Shabbat and willing to learn with him. Ashre tivchar utkarev ishkon chatzerecha. The ones that you bring close to you with your help, with your siyata dishmaya, would leave upon you for eternity. Nisbea betuv betecha kedosh echalecha. We are full of pleasure from the greatness of your home and the holiness of your temple. Noraot betzedek ta'anenu elokei ishenu. Wonders with your kindness do to us, our God, our salvation. Mivtach kol katzvei Eretz ve'yam rechokim. This is like the bunker, the security place of all edges of the world, every corner of the world. Ve'yam, in every corner of the ocean, even as far as it may be. Mechin harim bekocho, the mountains, as you wanted with your strength, you made mountains. You know? Why there's mountains, do you know? Why Hashem needed to make mountains? Why he didn't make the whole world flat? It would be a lot easier, no? You don't have to climb, go down, up the hill, down the hill. Everything flat, the whole world. If the world would be flat, what would happen to the world? You ever thought about it? The answer is, the winds, when there's mountain, the wind, the steam come from the ocean, coming high, from the sun, evaporates the steam from the ocean. It has to go up and create clouds, and the winds that are coming hits the mountains. It's like a ramp, and it sends it all the way up like that. It pushes it up. What is it like? You know those people with the skateboards, they want to jump. How are they going to jump if everything is flat? They have to make a ramp. The ramp pushes them all the way up. This is how Hashem made it, that it goes up, creates the cloud, the rain falls, and again, it's a circle. That's why you need mountains. Also, why you need mountains? Mountains is a place to run where there is floods and all kinds of war, you're in high place to hide over there. Also, one more reason for mountains is when you want to build a shul, it has to be on a mountain, it has to be higher than the valley, than the rest where the people are. So you need always to build a shul in the highest place. That's why the Arab copy from our Torah, they build all the mosque and they made this tall Tzariach, whatever it, you call it in English, to go all the way up above the building of the village. Why? That the place of religion will be higher than the homes of the people. So David says, he continue over here, Mechin harim bekocho ne'ezar bigvura. The ones with his strength created the mountains, is full of strength. Mashbiach she'on yamim, making the noise of the oceans ups and down. You want it loud, it goes loud. You want it silence, you make it silence. She'on galehem ve'amon le'umim, you control the waves, you control the ocean, and you control the noise that the nations are making. Va'ireu yoshvei k'tzavot mo'ototecha, those who sit in corners of the world, in the end of behind the mountain of darkness, people that are isolated in the worst places, they are still fearing you when they see what you do in the world. Motzae boker va'erev tarnin, they come morning and evening to sing to you, to pray to you. Pakadeta haaretz v'tshokekea, you remember this earth, and you brought water to it. Rabat te'ashrena peleg elokim male maim, you made it rich with so much water. 72% of the world is water, in case you didn't know. Elokim male maim, from the treasure of God who falls from heaven. Tachin deganam kichen techinea, you prepare the wheat. Dagan, it's the five kinds of grains. Five kinds of grains. That's what chametz. Rice is not five kinds of grains. There's all kinds of other things, but the five kinds of grains is wheat, barley, oat, spelt, and rye. Those are the five kinds of grains. These are actually the support of the food. If we have this, one of the five, we can live forever. We take it, we grind it, we mix it with water, we have bread. We can make with bread, whatever we want. Bread, if you have bread, you never die. If you don't have bread, it's a problem. Bread is the one, it is the thing that makes a person full. That's why when we eat something with bread, we don't make bracha on the things, only on the bread, because it's the main thing. So, it says like this, you made so much water and the grains, tlamei aravena chet gedudea, all the plowing the fields and the water that falls in the lines. Birvivim temogegena tzimcha tevarech, when the rain makes the land soft and all the bushes and the trees are coming up. Itarta shnat tovatecha, you made the year so beautiful with your greatness. Uma'agalecha irafun dashen. Remember, he's talking about after there was complete dry, nothing is no rain, everything is about to die, all of a sudden lots of rain. So he's praising Hashem for the rain. Uma'agalecha irafun dashen. All the trucks are, the water went everywhere, not one place is dry. Irafu neot midbar, even in a desert, there's water. Vegil gevaot tachgorna. Gil means happiness. Gevaot means hills. Tachgorna means like chagura, like belt, goes around. So they surround, joy surround every hill. Lavshu karim atzon va'amakim yatfu, the valleys with the sheep. All the air, the flat areas are full of grains. Itro'au af yashiru. Even they sing to you, Hashem. We finished Bezrat Hashem, the chapter 65. And Baruch Hashem, we did five chapters, and one of them was very long, this one. Next Wednesday, Bezrat Hashem, 8:15, not later. Try to come early on time. Today we had a delay because of the door. But in general, we always start on time. Should be from 8:15 to 10, the shiur, every Wednesday. Zrat Hashem, if we finish five chapters every mizmor, in 2-3 months we'll come to the end. The end is the best parts, with all the shir lama'alot and the hallelujah. Lots of the mizmorim that we read every day, So have a little bit more patience. We're getting there. Baruch Adonai l'olam. Amen ve'amen.